Greetings and salutations, it's the Agile Podcast here again. I'm Tony.
Hi, I'm Renee, and today with us we have a special guest, Adrian.
Good morning.
Dr. Adrian Smith.
Thank you, Tony.
Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you.
For those of you that don't remember, Adrian was our very, very first guest so many episodes ago.
And we're one person less. No, Craig is on holiday still with the sheep.
His pants are here.
So is there any Smith will do?
You could be the de facto Smith replacement,
yeah,
yes.
Right, yeah. We just traded a Smith for another Smith, yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah. Okay.
So we've...
Smith Matrix-ish.
Yes, Asian Smith, yes.
The Smiths are
everywhere. I got it.
Yeah. Whew, that was... Okay. After you, Renee, on our special Kanban issue today.
Yeah, so... pretty much we're going to feature the whole Lean Kanban University's recent announcement that they're going to be providing accredited Kanban training. So opening thoughts, and just as a side note, I guess I've sent some questions off to Keith Mitchell. Keith's the president and GM of the Lean Kanban University. We've got a number of responses back. We will be getting there, and I will actually be walking through those particular responses. But first, just initial thoughts looking through the Lean Kanban University content. Tony? Or you want to wait for later?
Yeah,
do you want to wait for later?
I had to take a deep breath there. Look.
Because I just thought you might want to rant and get it off your chest.
No, look, I just have to ask the value. Where's the value?
Where's the value?
That's my answer.
In some training?
It's not so much training. I have this whole thing about accreditation. You know, I can do university, but does that make me a good practitioner? You know, there's a lot of people floating around out there with these qualifications. Like,
okay.
And, you know, we've talked about Scrum Masters and we've talked about, you know, those...
So on the surface, you're concerned that it's accreditation and that it's an element of certification as a effective practitioner. Is that correct?
I'll go with that, yes.
Okay, just to paraphrase.
That's just a paraphrase. I think people get it, though. I mean, we've talked about it plenty of times. You can have a piece of paper, but it doesn't make it good. You know?
Yep. What about you, Mr. Smith?
So I'm sort of maybe slightly different view to Tony's. I actually support accreditation. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I value the recognition that someone's completed a certain amount of, you know, training or course content or practical experience. I think the value in the accreditation should only be taken as far as it is, as what it actually means of what they've done. And I think sometimes the title, you know, gets bigger than the actual, you know, what they've done, the training they've done. So if you've got a 2-day training course and you're suddenly a master,
well, I guess that was my point.
That's the thing that I have a little bit of a problem with. I mean, I still value accreditation, like I value someone who's got a university degree. You know, I think that's an important.
Oh, I don't want those doctors and stuff.
Then. Yeah. You know, but I've employed plenty of people who don't have university degrees. Just maybe I don't know if I can tell a little story here.
I
employed someone. I interviewed them. They were 17 for a development job, and
did they look pretty, or was it?
It was a male.
Oh, right.
No,
I just wondered if there was some.
No. All above board. The interview went on. He was very technically competent. He had done a technical, you know, problem prior to coming to the interview, and we thought he did well in that. And then I asked him during the course, you know, so is this job, you know, for a you know, a short period of time, and then you think you might go to university part-time, and he said, no, I don't need to go to university. I've been working since I was 14, and I've got the skills I need.
Wait.
And I thought, yeah, well, that's true, you have. And,
okay.
And I think different disciplines require different levels of things, so I don't think it's as clear-cut to say you never need university degrees for anything.
And I guess I don't want you to think that's what I was meaning,
mm-hmm.
because I think accreditation in the right instance and where it's applied properly, but you've got it where the instance of a 2-day course and all of a sudden I'm accredited
master.
And I'm a master or I'm a whatever it be.
You guys are obviously inferring about the certified Scrum Master course, right?
Well, I think they've acknowledged that anyway by the track they're going down now to change some things, but
okay.
Well, if you look at their CSP, they've actually used to be CSP, you had to just fill out a whole bunch of stuff and send it back in questionnaires. Now it's a completely different sort of scenario where they're actually having it tested properly in proper testing environments and so on with accredited assessors and that sort of thing. So, you know, they're starting to acknowledge
that
problem.
But that's still a handwritten test, right? That's not a someone coming out to your workplace literally watching you run a stand-up, for example.
That's literally right. So if you take, like, for example, like, I don't have a lot of accreditations. I'm the first one to put my hand up and say that. Most of mine is life experience. I've worked hard to get there. But I do have, you know, a diploma of business analysis and IT systems analysis. And how did I get those? They were done by assessors who came out and watched me do what I did.
Yeah.
Plus, there was the written component of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I found that much more useful to me, even, that they were doing that sort of thing. So I guess that's where I draw that line. You know, I'm sure we've all got those friends who've done university for the... And I'm not bagging you, but I'm sure you've got those friends too, are still doing university.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was at university for a long period of time, 8 years. And,
8 years?
Yeah.
Those are the grey hairs, right?
Yeah, that's how I got
to get a doctorate, you've got to do that long.
Yeah, takes a while.
Which is okay if you're doing that as a plan, but I know guys who are still doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, life is, though.
Yeah, could be.
I mean, the thing I think about in the sphere of accreditation is that there's that 70-20-10 rule, right? So 70% of what you learn is actually on the job. 20% is generally through social networks, and only 10% is through formal training channels. So is accreditation really only that 10%? Because it's not in the majority of cases, is it, to be accredited?
I think it depends in the domain you're working in. You know, and probably it depends in the period you're in your career.
Earlier in your career,
you're probably drawing more on
training,
you know, training and study and that sort of things. And as you advance more in your career, you're drawing more on instinct and experience and stuff like that.
No, I agree.
And things you've learned.
Excellent. Shall we get into it then?
Yes, let's.
Okay, so I'm just going to be reading out, or maybe Tony, you can read out the question, and then I'll actually read out the answers if you'd like.
Okay, so you tell me you can read.
I'm presupposing that you can read, Tony.
Right. Okay, there's the first shot for our listeners. Why call the site service/business the Lean Kanban University? Or for those purists, Kanban. I knew you were going to say that. Kanban.
So Keith's response says, the Lean Kanban University is not a university in the traditional academic sense of the word. It does not intend to be a collection of colleges, or grant doctorate level degrees, the usual requirement for an academic university. It is much more closely related to the concept of a corporate university, the best known of which are probably those run by McDonald's, Disney, and Toyota. According to a 2007 Society for Human Resources Management article, there were more than 2,000 such entities in existence at that time. Thoughts?
I think there's probably in the United States there's different laws to what there is in the UK and Australia about calling something a university.
Yep.
And I think the term university in Australia, I know, attracts a certain amount of funding and scrutiny from industry bodies and things like that. So, you know, I think maybe the lens that we're bringing also, we've got to be careful not to be too judgmental in the name.
But our country's definition
but
of...
But our country's definition of what the implication of that name is is potentially quite different. And, you know, it runs the risk of slightly devaluating the, you know, intent of the original university as a title.
So there were a couple of questions further down that Keith's response is see above. So I just want to feel like I want to get those out right away. So those questions were, why did you choose the term university, especially as universities provide academic degrees such as bachelor's, master's, doctorate? Why does the term university, does the term university intentionally demean those who spent 3 years or plus at a real university? And is the university regionally accredited? So all that previous sentence paragraph that I read before was really his response to those four questions.
An interesting note there. You've got a little subnote all there too. It says it provides a curriculum-based model with common material and accredited instructors. Where were the instructors accredited? Do we know?
Where's that, Tony?
Let's
read that. Sorry, I missed that bit.
That's okay. It's a significant point for me.
The Lean Kanban University incorporates the structure of a corporate university with traditional training consultant practices. It provides a curriculum-based model with common material and accredited instructors, as you said, and thereby provides access to high-quality training to organisations too small for their own university or corporate universities where courses in Kanban may not be cost effective to produce in-house. I guess we'll determine the accredited instructors a little bit later. I know there's some questions about that.
Okay, so that's an important point for me, because you can often have instructors who are accredited trainers, but they're not accredited in the material itself,
yep.
If you know what I'm saying.
So if we don't get to that by the end, then backtrack me to it.
Oh, I'll backtrack you, all right.
Anyway, Adrian, as someone who's spent such a long time at a university...
Yeah, he doesn't remember.
And you're saying that without smiling.
Yeah. He doesn't remember that. It was all the drugs, rock and roll. You're welcome to pick his brains
for
what's left.
Let me put it this way. I've spent a lot less time than you at a university. I spent 3 years to get a bachelor's degree.
Yep.
I feel slightly perturbed in the sense that we're in Australia... Mm-hmm. That someone is calling themselves a university and you're able to get something after a day or two. How do you feel about
it? Yeah, I mean, I agree. But I think maybe it's because of the lens, our cultural lens from Australia and the expectation of what the term university means. You know, I think some up-and-coming universities, a lot of snobbery in academia between universities, you know, like when Bond became a university, you know, there was always questions about, you know, its credibility and stuff like that. And that always happens with new universities. But I think you've got to also be careful that it doesn't become a boys' club and, you know, just because we're the Ivy League universities that we can, you know, hold all the rights to, you know, knowledge and training and stuff like that. You know, and there are other professional organisations like the Serena Rosso Institute, which does...
That's not a university, though.
No, true. It's not a university.
It's an institute.
So the term I do have a little bit of a problem with, but...
I would be more than happy if they called it the Lean Kanban Education Centre or something like that. I think it would be just as valuable.
Yeah, but I think what Keith's saying is that this isn't the first time this has happened.
No, he's saying there's precedents for it. But the thing that I pointed out to him, that these precedents are all precedents for corporations internally focused.
Not external training.
So they're doing training inside and that... they're not providing a service wider than that. So I did ask that question back, so there was one reply going back to this particular response. And he said, I can certainly see your point, and unfortunately I don't have any detail on these 2,000 entities. However, I can speak about one example which I'm familiar, that being the university run by my former employer, Sprint, the third largest wireless phone company in the US. In addition to reinforcing the company's processes, procedures, culture and ethos, all training classes were funneled through this organisation. In fact, this was the company policy and I attended a wide range of classes through them. I'm also aware of the circumstances where large companies have allowed employees and of partner companies to attend training classes hosted by their university. Again, it's not really showing to me that it's a he knows of an organisation out there that does service anyone with a level of training and still calls themselves a university.
Yeah.
Anyway, done to death?
Yeah, I think that's done to death. I think I want to make sure we point out as we go through this that, and for some people who listen to it, if you listen for the first time, we're actually not Kanban haters, by the way.
No.
I think that's important.
Adrian, are you a Kanban hater?
Yeah, sorry, we can't speak for you. We're not a hater. We're not hating on Kanban.
And I think we've got to be careful that this isn't interpreted as a criticism of the content or the intent to provide public training or all those sorts of things.
No.
Because I fully support, and I think a lot of the people that they've got in the organisation look like they're very well,
knowledgeable,
experienced and capable of delivering this sort of content, and, you know, I wish them all the best in doing so.
I think, you know, one thing that I'd add to this is that the difference for me when I actually went to a 3-year university versus on the job, I learned an awful lot more, I can honestly say, in my first year on the job than I ever did in a university.
I think you learn a lot more about doing your job rather than... I think the thing that university gives you is that it gives you...
The terms.
The wide view of a lot of different things.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't use any of the specific domain knowledge that I did when I studied.
You don't use Prolog anymore?
My PhD.
Hoplog?
No, I don't.
Delphi?
No.
Okay.
But
Delphi.
You know, but it does.
Artificial intelligence?
Sometimes I have used that sort of principle. Right. So.
He's been accused of that.
Sorry.
She's really trying to derail you.
So, I've forgotten what I was saying. Yeah.
can I clue you in on something, Adrian?
Yeah.
You hear the podcast, it's quite acceptable to tell Renee, shut up!
Now, the point I was trying to make was that university gives you a wide range of exposure to a lot of different topics, and that's why a lot of courses, you know, have a lot of general common first year and stuff like that, because you don't know what you don't know, and at least if you've seen some things, you know, I can look further in that. So, like, I agree that the first year on the job, wow, you learn a huge amount, but a huge amount about that job, not about the same content, the breadth of the same content, at least, anyway.
No, that wasn't my experience, but yeah
engineering
I
might
it.
Be different. Yeah.
Mm. Okay, moving on.
One question, Dan.
Yes, your question. Come on.
Oh, you want me to read? Oh,
yes, moving
want me
on.
To do something. Okay.
Yes.
Gosh, I don't get paid for this. Can customers just get lean training without Kanban, and vice versa?
At the moment, the Lean Kanban University only accredits Kanban training courses. So it sort of hints at the moment there could be more. But for the moment, just that. Next.
Is the training primarily focused on software development?
When Kanban training for knowledge work began several years ago, demand was initially greatest amongst the software community or software development. We believe that software development is at a similar place now as the manufacturing was before Henry Ford came along in terms of maturity. 10 years from now, software development will be much more mature and much more efficient than it is today. We believe that Kanban will have a hand in helping that make that happen. We're seeing increased interest in applying Kanban to IT operations. This is an area that would greatly benefit from the efficiency gains that come from implementing Kanban. Any thoughts, guys?
I think I always get a little jumpy and fired up when everybody says, in applying Kanban to IT operations, and this will get your efficiency gains. And Kanban itself's not going to get that in total for you. It's a mix of things. Yeah, if you just go, Kanban's going to help, don't get me wrong. But if you don't have those structured day-to-day processes, if you don't have them set up properly, then Kanban's going to fail like any other thing that we do.
Okay. So you mean have elements of Lean and Agile in there and it'll be better?
Absolutely. We've talked about this before. It's just another tool in the... Now, I'll get my cue rant. This is just another tool in the toolkit. So this is where I have a problem with the Kanban versus Scrum, versus Lean, versus everybody, or vice versa. Again, they're tools that work well together. And I often see the problem where people just try to put one thing in seclusion and say, that's going to solve our problem.
Yeah, I completely agree, Tony. I think there's no silver bullet.
Yeah,
and we've got to be careful here that, you know, Kanban is becoming popular and people are, you know, hitting the terms and this training is intended to fulfil that need, and that's great. But in isolation, I don't think it's a silver bullet for solving problems.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at Kanban, it's a great way to drive and visualise and control your work. But if you don't have all the other facets of standard operating procedures, you know, or work standardisation, all those daily day-to-day processes, you're gonna have a problem anyway. You can't just put that in and say that's going to fix it. No, I'm sure you've seen teams like that. Mm. Same for Agile. You know, I'm not just hating on Kanban there, because I'm not hating on it. I'm saying it's a good tool. But if you just try to whack Agile in a lot of instances, that might not work as well. You've got to be open to saying, okay, well, what's the best for the right process for the right place at the right time?
Yeah. That said, I mean, I don't have any problem with Keith's response at all. You know, it makes sense to me, and I agree with it.
Yeah, other than that, it was quite good.
All right, let's talk about the actual Kanban training course itself.
Oh, so you want me to ask another question?
Yes, please.
You want me to do something?
Okay. Yeah.
What do you believe the Kanban training will provide that David Anderson's book or playing the Get to Kanban game will not cover?
So whilst reading the book is useful, there are advantages gained from a classroom environment with a real person teaching the class. The instructor can survey the class to get a feel for the level of understanding that the group has and teach to that level. They also bring the personal history of implementing Kanban, which adds value to the class. Class attendees also get an opportunity to interact and talk about shared experiences, which can be very valuable. People who attended the Lean Kanban University accredited Kanban training class also get 1 year individual membership in the Lean Kanban University. In the future, this will include access to the members-only section of the Lean Kanban University website, where they can receive updates on Kanban as it evolves in practice and theory, exchange experiences on Kanban implementations, etc. Note that this functionality is still under construction.
So this is an alumni, just speaking to the second point, this is an alumni organisation that they're going to have moderated or special content. And that's great. I think the one thing I have with slightly with the issue with that is that, you know, it ignores a lot of the community, you know, organic stuff that comes up. And I think people do well to actually research and find that stuff out for themselves, because that process of finding that information, reading, disseminating and filtering out the things that they think are good and bad is actually an important part of the learning process.
So just from my understanding, is an alumni like a special club?
I think so. I don't know exactly what the word means, but it sounded like the right thing to say. But I think my understanding is that it's, you know, once you've graduated or completed the course, then you become a member of that alumni, the graduating class, if you
right.
like. And that's what there's being described here, that you get access to, you know, more detailed content in practice and theory.
So for me, for the first part, which is around the actual interaction and getting the value out of shared experiences, I think certainly as someone that provides agile training, without a doubt, that is a key benefit. And I can't dispute the value that being in attendance with other people and getting that interaction is considerable value.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think a classroom is very useful. I do think, however, that you know, often people come to classes and then, you know, a week later, if they're not applying what they've learnt, they'll lose that information really, really quickly.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it just becomes a series of, you know, fond memories and conversations rather than actually techniques or practices that they can apply.
So the important thing is to make sure that you're timing it with some work,
starting work
that
that's compatible with it. The other thing I think which is important is it exams. As a way of reinforcing content. And one thing I heard was an organisation who does training like this, you are only allowed to sit the exam sort of 6 weeks after you've completed the course.
Yep.
So it forced you to sort of come back and revise that, not cram the content, do the exam and you were passed and got the bit of paper. It actually tried to encourage you to come back and reinforce that content, which I thought was a good idea.
There's a couple of things for me there. First of all, just on a side note, an alumni is an association of graduates or more broadly of former students.
So I was close.
You were close. So I just thought I'd copy.
Good job. Thanks.
Yeah, great. Two things here. I absolutely agree with you about the set and forget type instance of these courses. A lot of the times people go and then off they go and they don't get a chance to use it. I noticed a reference in here to the Toyota University, and it must be stated that the Toyota University is only open to the Toyota people. And in coupling with that, they have what they call JIT,
Job Instruction Training.
Okay, so JIT is a principle, which we all know of, but they also use Job Instruction Training, right? So the component for them is, yes, you attend that, but when you go back into the workforce, you're also continually supported and you're continually trained in those disciplines as they happen at the time. So I think that's a very important component which sometimes gets lost in these things. I also agree with Adrian in terms of you do need that examination type process. And I think there's two things that go understated in it. First, it is making sure that people actually got what was being trained in the first place. But the second part of it also is how can you measure the success of the course? So did people actually get what you were talking about? So the examinations are not only for you to test, or should not only be for you to test their knowledge, it should be also to test the training course that you've put out there. Because if you're considerably getting, if you start to stratify the data and the same question's getting missed 200 students, then you know there's a problem there.
Okay, so ultimately I think what I'm hearing from you is that what's the definition of success here?
Yep.
Is the success that we've got money, or is the success that people's capability has been demonstrably improved?
I must say, I like that idea of making them go out 6 weeks and come back. I think that's excellent.
Okay. What about the 1 year thing? Have access for 1 year. I'm not quite sure what happens after the 1 year, whether you
probably have to pay for it.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, there's a cost to administering this and curating the content that's in there, and providing access and stuff like that. So it's fair to say that you would probably have to pay.
Okay.
But I think it's good, you know, with any of those to have some sort of support mechanism. I can't.
Yeah, I mean, to expect that the organisation would continue without ongoing, you know, funding is not real.
No. I think just the fact that they give you the membership and encourage you to be involved continuously, I think that's good.
Okay.
Next. How much of the course is lean focused?
The curriculum is based on the Kanban method as documented in David's book on the topic. The emphasis is evolutionary change, what the Japanese refer to as Kaizen, or continuous improvement. Western Lean, defined by the academics in Boston, incorporates the same ideas, but the focus is often different. Western approaches to change are often managed projects with defined outcomes. Kanban training follows more closely the original ethos of the Toyota Way and is designed to encourage improvement in organisations and have struggled with change initiatives in the past.
Cue rant?
Oh, if you want to rant, go for it.
Okay, here's my problem with this. There's an intrinsic issue here when you start quoting Toyota, the Toyota Way, Lean, TPS, all that sort of stuff, and saying you're going to take this piece out here and it's going to improve an organisation. Yeah? Because you're missing the culture piece. And that is the reality of it, is that organisations, and this is proven atypically, if you try to take one piece of that whole pie out and put it in an organisation, is not going to change the culture. It's not going to improve it in terms of that. Yes, you might actually make some improvements in certain pieces, but you are not going to change the culture by just implementing that.
Okay, I'm going to poke you into a slightly uncomfortable corner
here. You go for that.
Have you read David Anderson's book?
I have read David Anderson's book.
Does it talk about culture in it?
It does talk about culture, but that's not what this gentleman's actually saying.
It's saying, based upon the method as documented in David's book.
Yes, but he also says, follows more closely the original ethos of the Toyota Way, and it's designed to encourage improvement in organisations.
Well, it doesn't say that we're absolutely 100% replicating the Toyota Way. It's the ethos, Tony.
I have a problem with that. And I have a problem with anyone that says they're going to try and replicate the ethos of the Toyota Way. That works for them.
Okay.
That works for their culture. That works for their company. Adrian, you're very silent there and you've got a little bit on your face.
I'm not sure what...
You're not sure what he's griping on about.
No, exactly what you're griping on about. Like, I agree, culture is an important enabler, you know, but I don't think they're claiming to be able to change the culture of your organisation in a one or two day training course. I think you have to achieve the change that you want.
Do you reckon you'll get that in a 2 day training course?
No, I don't think you'll get the tools to be able to do that in a 1 day training, but I think that's not what they're trying to say, that you're going to get that, and that's not their claim. So it's not what's written on the box.
No.
After, you know, taking this twice daily, you'll be able to change the culture of an organisation. I think that's not really what they're saying. So I think you're going to get the tools that are going to help you start to make that work visible and start to expose those issues. And working this way, walking in the footsteps, hopefully, will, you know, start to have the effect of changing the culture. I think that's more what they're saying.
Okay, we can agree to disagree. I'm not going to. I just look for me. I always have this problem where people just start quoting the Toyota Way or the TPS or the, you know,
you feel it's name dropping.
Yeah, I really think it's just trying to back off of that. And you know, it's like saying, well, we're going to do it the Six Sigma way, or we're going to do it the GE way. I'm not just pointing at Toyota Way, you know. And whenever Lean gets mentioned, somebody tries to focus on somebody else who was successful or their way.
Have you been to Toyota and visited their way?
I haven't. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, just checking here.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, nor would I presuppose to say that because I'm implementing Lean, which, by the way, I'm working within the Lean environments, that I would presuppose to say that I'm implementing the Toyota Way. That's, you know, it's the company that I'm working for's way now. How much of the course content is agile focused?
Keith's response is, the use of Kanban is partly intended to improve agility. We can think of agility as the ability to respond to changes in the market and other opportunities, and also in the speed with which we respond, the lead time. Observing, measuring, and managing for shorter lead times is a key focus in the training. So my comment on this is he's missed the capital A on the agile. In fact, I think he's totally missed the boat here. My understanding of the Kanban community is they've never said we're not agile. We're not part of that group, maybe. Maybe it's a misunderstanding of mine. I don't know.
I think this goes back to that whole Scrum war, really. That's that whole...
But agile is more than Scrum.
I get that. I understand that completely. And we've spoken about that plenty of times, but I think that this goes back to this whole separation piece again, where, you know, it's starting to be, we do Kanban, you do Scrum, and that's it.
I don't think, you know, for example, that David's never said that individuals and interactions over processes tools are not applicable.
No,
you know,
no, I don't think
the manifesto is still just as relevant to Kanban as it is to anything else.
I think, there's a slight misinterpretation of your original question here.
Yeah.
You used capital A Agile, which is intended to be the term representing an umbrella for a number of different practices and principles and values.
Yeah.
And the response here is focused on the actual literal meaning of the word agile.
The little,
yeah.
So hopefully there will be some agile elements inside the course, but I guess we'll see.
Look, I mean, we've seen David and heard David speak, we've read David's stuff, and he's always said, you know, he's never actually tried to separate Kanban and Agile, right? He said that the two. But I think there are a lot of other practitioners and people out there who've become sycophants of the one thing, and that's a problem for you sometimes.
Okay.
Is the content one day? If so, what was the instructional design intent behind this?
The Lean Kanban University will accredit 1-day and 2-day classes provided by our member firms. The 1-day class is meant to be an overview, and depending on the level of Kanban knowledge already present, may be enough to get started with Kanban. However, we find that a 2-day class is required to gain a full understanding of the theory and the practice of Scrum. The 2-day class best prepares the organisation for success.
So just so I understand here, the intent, it sounds like, is the Lean Kanban University will be accrediting its member organisations' own training content. So,
correct.
So those organisations can come up with their own courses, 1 or 2 day, and can structure their content, provided they get accreditation, approval,
whatever,
by Lean Kanban University.
So I'd hope there would be somewhere in there a general framework about, you know,
what
must cover X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that would be the case.
Yeah.
And that's really what I meant by the instructional design intent, is like, well, how much are you actually going to cover, and is there a base set of things that have to be covered?
Yeah, no comment. It's pretty straightforward. Next question.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a rumour that the course is $500 for a day. That seems very competitive. Was this intentional?
Each member firm is free to price their classes as they see fit. Lean Kanban University does not set prices for training classes.
Okay.
Though, you know, I would actually still say if it was 500, I'm not quite sure where the original source of that 500 figure was. That's actually pretty cheap, in my opinion. Can you consider the alternative is get David's book, you know, spend some time reading that, or do the Get Kanban game, which is actually pretty expensive in itself just to do that. You know, you're pretty much up there at 500. You've got to keep in mind that a room costs a lot of money, materials cost money, the instructor costs money.
Yeah, that 500 a day is
I would think that it's probably going to pan out a little bit more than that by the time different companies look at the cost of delivery. Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what's the going rate around at the moment? I usually, most courses are around the 1,000
$1,200
around that mark. So if you think about it, that's probably going to be the going rate. Oh, sorry, I flipped over the page, but I didn't see the one at the bottom. I could not find any actual Kanban training programs in the events calendar. Am I looking in the wrong area, or are these unscheduled yet? Side note.
You can skip the side note.
You might. Okay. All right, I skipped the side note.
Thanks.
Skipped.
It was just a note. It was just a note that the dates were interesting.
Hop, skipped, and jumped?
In the near future, you'll be able to go to the site and find the accredited Kanban training classes offered by each of our members' firms. So they've made an announcement, but I actually can't find where you can get the course.
But I think, isn't that the member organisations are going to have their own training calendar and stuff like that?
Correct.
And they've got no link. I haven't found a link to the other member
organization.
I did.
Yeah, when I looked at the website, I saw there was a date filter and types of other services and the partner organisations. You could filter and find people, and they had descriptions of the people there and what skills.
Like net objectives?
The net objective people, and I think there was a couple of other organisations there as well, and it had details of the expertise that the trainers had in different areas.
Okay.
It didn't.
But basically, from my memory, you've got to make that logical jump. Oh, I've got to find this member's website. I've got to go there, and then I've actually got to find the training there.
I would imagine in the future that their website will aggregate their
which it will. I mean, that's what he's saying.
Together, yeah. And there'll be one consolidated calendar.
Easy to find. Excellent.
Next question.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Is there an intent to provide training/accreditation in the Southern Hemisphere? We might be down under, but we're people too. Nice one.
So Keith's response is, we've seen strong demand from firms in South America that would like to offer accredited Kanban training classes and a little from South Africa. Please send any interested training firms in my direction. I'm still feeling left out. there's more than two continents in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah, by the way, we're not in South Africa, nor are we in South America.
But that's okay, he didn't know that.
Yeah. Try the bottom.
He doesn't get to hear the accent by the email.
At the bottom of the globe, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, accreditation.
So hopefully, for those of our listeners who are in Australia or in New Zealand and so forth, there will be some accreditation sometime soon that you can go to.
Lovely. What do you consider accreditation?
In order to offer accredited Kanban training, the training must be a member of the Lean Kanban University. Each member firms must identify the trainers who will teach. Oh my goodness, the accredited courses.
And you're giving me flack about not being able to read.
It's not me that's the problem here. That trainer is evaluated by the advisory board for experience in Kanban implementation and experience in teaching Kanban classes. The material used by the trainer for training firm teacher is reviewed by the Lean Kanban University to ensure that it is consistent with the curriculum established by the organisation. The focus on the Lean Kanban University is on quality trainers and quality training material.
I think this is pretty much how we expected it would work.
Now, I'm gonna have a little bit of a bugbear here. Just want to do a bit of a side note. Now, do you guys actually know what accreditation means?
Okay, so Renee's gone Googled the actual...
Wikipedia, whatever.
Wikipedia. Oh, if it's in Wikipedia, it's true, right?
Yes, obviously.
Yeah, okay.
So Wikipedia's definition of accreditation is a process in which certification of a competency, authority, or credibility is presented. Okay, so certification of a competency. Okay, moving on.
Moving on.
Keeping that in mind.
Okay. Good. Are we done there?
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Will this enforce a test to adequately gauge competency capability of implementing Kanban or Lean back in one's team?
At the moment, the Lean Kanban University does not offer a certification for individuals. We believe that a certification only has value if it is an indication of a person's skills. We are currently investigating the implementation of a certification program, but will only do so if we believe that it has real teeth.
And I think that's consistent with what we were discussing before, you know, that certification is only useful if it is certifying that you've got a certain capability through examination or
evaluation. Yeah, so I like the fact that they want to be really honest about certification being a true gauge of someone's capability. That said, they're using the word accreditation. And accreditation actually implies that you've got certification.
Yes. And the only accreditation, I guess, or the certification part is that the Lean Kanban University are looking at the course content and evaluating it for consistency and making sure that the trainers have quality. So they didn't. That doesn't sound like they've described.
This is the difference. Okay, they're accrediting
course, not the
provider,
not the attendee.
Not the attendees. Oh, brilliant. Okay, so that really clarifies it. It's not that if you attend you'll be accredited. It's that people who are running the course are accredited.
Correct. Yeah.
Well, let's be real. We're all certified here. I'm not certified sure what we've been certified for, but I can make some guesses. Renee?
Moving on.
Cool. You've got to add some levity to it. Is the accreditation usable as units against a more comprehensive program, i.e. PMI certification or real university degree?
Not at the moment.
Very short and sharp answer.
That's an honest answer. I didn't really expect it to say it would.
Cool. Why make it a certified course and not just a training course that people can attend?
Okay, so we've established now that it's actually not a certified course, but mm-hmm. that's okay. The response is, by attending a Lean Kanban University accredited Kanban class, you receive a level of assurance that both the trainer and the training material have been vetted and approved by a group committed to providing quality training. We believe this has value and the early indications on the market agrees. So at the end of the day, if you're attending this course by this education provider, you're getting a certificate or something at the end of it.
A certificate of attendance.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
It doesn't sound like you're getting a certificate of successful completion necessarily, but the course is accredited.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm looking at the time for the podcast at the moment, so we're hitting our time frame. Okay. So we're obviously not going to get completely through this, but we'll hit these last
couple. We probably will, actually, if we skip it through. All right.
What sort of formal process or training accreditations do the trainers have, if any?
The Lean Kanban University was founded by a group of very experienced Kanban trainers. The process of bringing in new trainers will entail a review process by the Lean Kanban University Advisory Board.
Okay, and that answers my previous question from right back at the beginning.
Yep.
What sort of length of time do they have... What sort of length of time do they have had conducting similar training to be deemed a trainer?
The criteria for new trainers is currently being established.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What sort of on-ground experience with actually implementing and using the content the trainers need to have had? Checking to ensure no ivory tower syndrome.
Yeah, indeed, practical experience implementing Kanban is required for all trainers. They must have practical experience in addition to academic knowledge of Kanban.
Stop us if there's any comments here, Angle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
LKU versus IC Agile. So how does any of the Lean Kanban training course link in with IC Agile?
I cannot comment on IC Agile.
Okay. How do you see the LKUs being competitively different from IC Agile, primarily the focus of lean and operational versus project delivery?
I cannot comment on IC Agile.
Do you intend to have Shu, Ha, Re or Dreyfus-like levels of capability-directed training either now or in the future?
There has been discussion amongst the advisory board about different levels of training in the future. At this time, there is no commitment to any particular model.
Okay. Scrum versus Kanban. How do you see this course being conceptually different between the Certified Scrum Master course?
I cannot comment on the Certified Scrum Master course.
Okay. I understand that we are talking about two different methods at the end of the day, but arguably a person who completes a CSM is a master of basic terms only and would not be able to effectively lead a team in the method without considerable support or further reading. And cue.
I cannot comment on CSM.
Scrum has been hit hard lately with backlash from the community that certification was only introduced as a means to make money and not really improve capability. Is the LKU going down a similar path?
The Lean Kanban University accredited Kanban training program is governed by an advisory board of 18 member firms. At this time, all the advisory board members are charter members who ratified the governing charter. Over time, new firm members will join the Lean Kanban University and will be represented by elected members on the advisory board. Each member firm pays fees to the Lean Kanban University in order to fund its operations, which include the services of defining curricula, accredited training materials and trainers, and marketing the value of high-quality Kanban training. Each member firm offers Kanban training in a competitive market at a price their local markets can sustain. They are for-profit businesses, and it is expected that they make profits from selling Kanban training. We believe that there is nothing wrong with making profits or in differentiating their business and their offerings on the grounds of quality and a price. I'd just like to say it's what I'd expect them to say, and it's just nicely worded.
I probably can't argue with that.
No.
Adrian?
No, that's lifted directly from their website.
Yeah, so. Other stuff. Very informative heading, Renee.
Yeah.
Does any of the training cover cultural transformations?
Cultural transformations is not covered in the standard curriculum. However, each firm has the option to add this to their class if they wish.
Okay. Is there any content about Cinefin Lean Startups?
It's above. It's not covered in the standard curriculum. However, each firm has the option to add if they wish.
If the method or framework changes, how do you plan to keep those who have attended training updated so that they remain informed and are always applying the right techniques and practices to their problems? Staleness test.
Each individual who attends accredited class will get a one-year membership in Lean Kanban University, with the options of extending that membership each year. In the future, there will be a community section in the Lean Kanban University site where members can view updates on Kanban as it progresses in theory and practice, exchange ideas on implementation, etc. Note that this functionality is not operational at the moment.
Okay. Any comments on that, Adrian?
No.
Well, we're going to move to the last question. Agile has suffered a lot from poor implementations of the values, principles, practices, and processes. There are often justifications of this project fail because they weren't really doing Agile. Do you believe there is a similar risk for Lean and Kanban? And if so, do you have any thoughts on how to reduce the probability of this occurring? I.e., is there a core minimum that can be maturity assessed against?
Can I comment on how people implement Kanban or the project that they focus on? I can say that the goal of Lean Kanban University is to provide quality trainers and quality training material. We believe that these two things will increase the probability of a successful Kanban implementation.
That's
it.
Fair enough.
Yep.
So, thanks, Keith, for your time.
Thank you, Keith.
It was very informative.
Yeah, I think that's good. I mean, they've been very transparent and open about what they're doing and stuff like that. And I mean, I wish them all the best, because I think, you know, the industry benefits from more training and you know, more consistency of this approach. So,
and I think you know, we need to state again, we're not Kanban haters here, but we certainly meant to be an informative discussion. And even though we might not agree on all the bits and pieces, I think in terms of having it out there, it's the industry will be better for it, but they just need to monitor it.
Yeah, I think going down the path of accrediting the trainers is definitely the right path. I think, you know, certification for people attending the courses is a really hard nut to crack, and I like and respect the fact that they're taking the time to do that properly, and then they're realising they're not quite there yet with that.
So, I guess that's the end of it. Adrian, it's been wonderful to have you along.
Well, thanks again, thanks.
Do you want to do a shameless plug?
No.
Do a shameless plug, come on. What's the company name?
Inova, and we're a engineering technology software development company, and we do agile lean coaching, and we do software development and stuff like that, and we've got a product for the construction industry, which is growing great guns at the moment.
Excellent. And where can they find you?
At inova.com.au.
Excellent. There's your shameless plug. Excellent. That's the end of the podcast. You can talk to me at tony@theagilepodcast.com.
Renee at the Agile Revolution.
Oh, that's a podcast. I always get that wrong, don't I?
Thanks for listening to the show.
Thank you.
Viva la Revolution.